Except the Lord keep this city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain to you to rise up early or to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And as I said when I started, I have 12 arrows in my quiver. Two daughters, two son-in-laws, my wife, and six grandchildren. And I've shared with you some of the verses that I've given them from Proverbs. And I call this words from Proverbs to challenge my family. Another reason that I've done this, I want you to look at Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 16 before we go to the first verse for the night. But Psalm 119, 9 through 16. I feel like that of all the bows that we have in our lives, and all the bows that you parents have to help shoot your arrows, the most important one is the Word of God. Is God's Word. And using that to guide our families. And in this chapter, Psalm 119, what is it? 176 verses. Every verse, just about every verse, has some word that refers to the Word of God in Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I am the head of my house, but my wife is the neck. And it takes the neck to turn the head. And she has said something to me that I should share, since I've told you that I have 112 references that I can quote that I have on my treadmill and on my bicycle. And she... we've been married for 42 years. We'll be celebrating 43 in August. But I still hear her. I'm saying these verses out loud. So I got the treadmill in my living room, and I'm quoting my verses while I'm walking. And I still hear her say, I'm amazed. She wants me to tell you about my schooling. I hated grade school, and I hated high school. And I was a C-D student. My wife was in the National Honor Society. There were only two subjects that I took in school that I think I made A's in. That was physical education and agriculture. I never lived on a farm. But all 4 years in high school, 9th grade through 12th, I took agriculture. Now, one of the reasons I like working outside and I like working on a farm. The other reason was that you didn't have to take a foreign language if you took agriculture. But the agriculture, I'm so thankful I had that. We did parliamentary procedure. We had public speaking contests. You know, we had cattle judging and all these things. But we also, the middle school wasn't here when I was in high school. and it was woods there. We went out and cut the pine trees for pulpwood. And we got to do that during our class. Well, I thought a lot of my agriculture teacher. He was teaching at Reedsville High School in 1938 when my dad was in high school. And he was still there in 1960, in the 1960s when I was there. I looked at him as father, kind of a grandfather. Sam Wells was his name. He was out of First Baptist Church in Reedsville. He'd been the Sunday school superintendent. I have a cradle roll certificate from the First Baptist Church of Reedsville, and it has Sam Wells on there as the Sunday school superintendent. I used to do landscaping with him, work with him at other times. But during my study hall, a lot of times I would get permission to go to the agriculture class. We built furniture and we did all these things. But I remember when we were cutting the trees, when we were out there cutting the trees, between each class, Mr. Wells would sharpen the axes. And we would get out there, and I remember I was using the axe. And I'm telling you, this is not very sharp. But I mean, he would have somebody in there between the classes sharpen that axe. And you would take one swipe on a limb and it would cut it all the way through. And I did that one time and it came all the way down and got me in the foot. And he had to get somebody else to take me to the hospital. He couldn't even look at it. He gave me an old dirty rag to put on it because he said he'd pass out if he looked at it. And he had somebody else to take me to the hospital to get it stitched up. But you, just the sharpening of that axe, and that brings me to the first one we're going to talk about tonight, and that's Jonah. Jonah was born on August the 27th. He is our grandson. He's Scott and Brenna's son, and Micah and Anna's brother. His verse is Proverbs 27, verse 17. And the verse says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You see, every one of us can apply that verse in our lives, because that's being a bow to shoot that arrow, is sharpening our friends. The New International Version says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." And we have a responsibility to do that. We have a responsibility to encourage one another and to build up one another. Iron sharpeneth iron. You see, my agriculture teacher was a bow in my life. I never knew any of my grandfathers. I only had one grandmother. So he was like a grandfather to me. Even after Loretta and I were married, I worked with him some when I didn't have a job doing landscaping. But he encouraged me. My senior year in high school, I was the president of the Future Farmers of America, and I never lived on a farm. But see, Mr. Wells wanted me to be president, so he didn't run anybody against me. The students, some of the other guys called Mr. Wells, they had nicknames. They don't call you, and most of you, a lot of you are homeschooled. Don't give your teacher nicknames. They called him Possum. And they call me Possum Son. But it never bothered me because I really respected him. But it was that encouragement. I mean, I went to a public speaking contest. And I think I spoke on dairy cattle. I took a whole roll of Rolaids before I gave my speech. That's how nervous I was. I went to Prairie Bible Institute in Canada in the first year. We had homiletics, where we were learning to preach, and we had to give a 5-minute message. And I thought, what am I going to say for 5 minutes? And now all of y'all can laugh. What am I going to say for 5 minutes? Then I had a personal evangelism class that first year, and they said, you have to learn 7 verses a week. For a whole semester, 7 verses a week. And here's what the teacher said, because we were all groaning and complaining. He said, how did you learn your telephone number? And your answer is, because I use it. You know? That's how you learned your telephone number. So that's why I put verses in all these places that I do. And while I'm exercising, I'm saying them. Because I have to keep saying them over and over and over and over again. Sunday afternoon, I went riding on my bike and I got through all my verses in my hour-long ride on my bicycle. You use a file to sharpen an axe. We use the Word of God. We use encouragement. We use so many other things to build up one another, to encourage others. You got to use something as strong as the axe to sharpen the axe. The last part of that verse says, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and by you letting your light shine, you glorify God which is in heaven. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Over in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we read about a man by the name of Joseph, and the apostles named him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. This is what the apostles saw in Barnabas, that he was an encourager. And so they gave him that nickname, son of encouragement. When Saul of Tarsus, when Paul came to know the Lord on the road to Damascus, he tried to join the apostles, and they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. And it says in Acts 9:27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Barnabas encouraged him. Barnabas brought him to the disciples and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. This is what Barnabas did for Paul. Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, and they took a young man by the name of John Mark with them. And John Mark got afraid on their trip, and he ran back home. When they were ready to go on the next missionary trip, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. And Paul was against it. He said, he left us before. We're not taking him. Because Barnabas wanted to encourage John Mark and wanted to see this young man go on for the Lord, he parted ways with Paul. Paul took Silas and went on a missionary journey, and Barnabas took John Mark and encouraged him. Went to Cyprus. But listen to what it says. This is Paul writing in 2 Timothy 4:11. He says this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He's profitable to me. How did he become profitable? Because Barnabas sharpened him, encouraged him. The next one is Brenna. Brenna was born on April the 30th. She's Scott's wife, and she's the mother of Anna, Jonah, and Micah. Her verse is Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. NIV says, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Every word of God is pure. That's why it's important for your life. That's why you need to memorize it. That's why you need to hide it in your hearts. That's why you need to follow it. James 1:25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Being obedient to the Word, you're going to be blessed in your deeds if you're obeying the Word of God. It's the pure Word of God. It's the perfect Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 19:7 through 9 tells us that God's Word is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true, and it's righteous. Those are all descriptive words of God's Word. And in Philippians 4:8, some of you have that memorized. How many of you have Philippians 4:8 memorized? We did this in Bible school, 2 years ago? Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. All descriptive of God's Word. Think on these things. That's what God's telling us to do. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, how do you keep your mind on Him? By knowing His Word, by quoting His Word, by meditating on His Word, you keep your mind on Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways make Him known. How do we know about Him? How do we make Him known? Through the Word of God. Ellie Maxwell used to tell us about a man that was back during the Civil War. They called him Uncle John Vassar. But Uncle John Vassar went all over the place. He would see some farmer out working in the field. He'd get on his knees and say, Lord, save him. And he'd go out there and witness to the man out in his cow pasture. Say, whenever he was at somebody's house for a meal, while he was waiting for the meal, he had his little New Testament out and he was memorizing Scripture. Ellie Maxwell had a funny way of describing things to you and made you laugh about it. He said, whenever you put the squeeze on, the Scripture came out for Uncle John Vassar. Whenever you put the squeeze on, Scripture came out because he was just staying in the Word. He actually was saved working in a brewery. And he had Bible verses up on the wall memorizing the verses while he was working until he got convicted and he had quit his job. But he was always looking for someone to lead to the Lord. I have two more It's the two youngest grandsons in our family. And I feel like they're a whole lot like me. Neither one of them likes school. And they're both talkers. You know, when we first started out with grandchildren, I couldn't wait for them to learn to talk. But after they started riding around with me for a while, can y'all just be quiet just a little bit? Just a little bit. Just let me drive down the road and not hear anything. Well, these two can talk. Now, the second one, you're going to question that, but I'll explain it to you. The first one is Harrison Sylvie. He was born on May the 31st. Both of these were born on the 31st of the month. So it's Proverbs 31:8. Open thy mouth for the dumb, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth for the dumb, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. New Living Translation says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Open thy mouth for the dumb. Now Harrison is 10. He'll be 11 in May. Harrison is 10 years old. When he was 7 or 8 years old, we took them to something at the Greensboro Coliseum. It must have been during the day because we went to IHOP afterwards. Well, Harrison was the first one in the door. He goes into the door and there's a man sitting there waiting to be seated. Harrison puts his hand out and says, hey, I'm Harrison. Never meets a stranger. But let me show you how he speaks up for others. I can't remember whether it was when Andrew was living with us and the three kids were there with us or they had come to visit. Anyway, the great-grandparents live in Eden and they wanted to meet us at Wendy's to go out to eat. So I took the kids over and we sat there at the table and the great-grandmother went and got them some ice cream and brought it back. She had change. She had $3 bills on the table. Harrison said, grandmother, you have $3. One for me, one for Zachary, and one for Tori. See, he was speaking up for the others that wouldn't speak for themselves. Psalm 19 and verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a good verse to quote. It's a good verse to pray every time you come to the Lord's Supper. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. Am I redeemed? I really think the Lord likes to hear us pray His Word. There have been some who, in the past, a man by the name of Witness Lee, and I think he had worked with Watchman Nee over in China, but there were some in the United States that started having these home churches, and Witness Lee had kind of been the one to start this. But they talked about pray reading the Word. So they would pray, they would read the Scripture, and then they'd pray it back to God. A good way to read. Read your Scripture and read something, and you read a promise, and you pray it back to God. James 2:8-9 says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Open thy mouth in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Over in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, we have the Great Commission. And it says, Jesus is speaking to the 11 apostles. And he said unto them, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Open thy mouth. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, preach the gospel to those who are appointed to destruction. 1 Corinthians 1:17-18. Paul is speaking. He says, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Them that perish foolishness, such as are appointed to destruction. Go and speak for them. So Harrison's verse, Proverbs 31 and verse 8. Micah Newcomb was born on January the 31st. And you might, if you're around Micah, think he's shy. Micah loves sports, anything. Any kind, anything that has to do with ball, he likes it. He almost started throwing a ball before he could walk. And he has this walk. And I don't know, I said to Brennan, him, he came out walking like this. It wasn't, nobody taught him how to walk this way. But he has that swagger when he walks, you know. Brennan was teaching him his ABCs. And he got to the letter Y. And he said, Y is for why do we have to do this? I've thought of that many a time when I was in school. Why do we have to do this? What is the purpose of this? I couldn't stand math, and I couldn't stand English. Well, when I went to Bible school, I didn't have to take math, so that was a good thing. They didn't teach math there. But I did have to take English. And I had an English teacher one year that gave us vocabulary words that he took out of Reader's Digest. Do y'all remember the words in Reader's Digest and the definitions? I was out on the school ice skating rink one day, and that teacher came by, and I went over to the side, and I said, Can I do something in place of those vocabulary words? I said, I don't even know what the definition of the definition is. I said, You teach us in homiletics class that we should speak in such a way that people don't have to take a dictionary with them to church. And now you're going to give us these big words to throw out to people that they will not know what you're talking about? Well, it didn't help. I didn't get any extra work that I could do. Micah's verse is Proverbs 31:9. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. NIV says, Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Open thy mouth. Judge righteously. When we had the bakery, Micah would come up there and he wanted to work at the cash register, and he told us he was going to take that bakery on when he got older and he was going to run it. But I would see older ladies sitting there at a table, gray-headed ladies sitting there, and it shocked me. I saw him sitting there with them talking to them, just carrying on a conversation with these ladies. But there again, that's that picture of these two boys, of how if you get them going in the right direction, using that mouth for the glory of God. Ellie Maxwell used to say, I have students that come to us, they got a lot of zip. If you can get it going in the right direction. And that's what the bow is for, to shoot them in the right direction. James 1:27. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, this is New Living Translation, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. caring for those in need. Then it says there in verse 9, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And then over in Ezekiel chapter 22, in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 31, God is speaking of the corruption. And here's an alliterated outline. If you want to have an alliterated outline, it's right in the Scriptures. It's here in Ezekiel chapter 22. He's talking about the corruption of the prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people. The prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people. And in verse 29 and 30 it says, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them, among those peas that you saw there, the prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I sought for a man among them, but I found none. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. We all need to be speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. When we see the things that are going on today, when we see how many babies have been murdered in the United States of America, and you see these politicians justified because it's the woman's right, well, God says it's not. And you know He does. There in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, He says, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I hate hands that shed innocent blood. And if God hates it, we ought to hate it. But we're seeing it with this Islamic terrorist group that's going in and shedding innocent blood. People that are believers. People that are not in their particular brand of Islam are being slaughtered, having their heads cut off. And they have nobody speaking up for them. Jonah was Proverbs 27:17. Brenna was Proverbs 30, verse 5. Harrison, Proverbs 31:8. And Micah, Proverbs 31:9. Now, I want to talk about a couple of other bows that Loretta and I have had in our lives just before we close. One of them was a man that would have not never known. I told you about Mr. Wells and what I thought of him. I even got to go see him in Florence, South Carolina in a nursing home to thank him for what he'd done for me. But another one was a little fellow, a little short guy, German background, spoke broken English, that was on the staff of Prairie Bible Institute. He lived in a little room in a dormitory for single staff men. I never heard Paul Cook say a complete sentence, I don't think. When you talked to him, he'd answer your questions, yeah, or whatever, you know, with that accent. But he didn't talk a lot. He would be out at 5 o'clock in the mornings. You could hear his snow shovel cleaning the sidewalks off for the students to walk to classes. He pulled the weeds out of the flower gardens. He plowed the gardens. When he was in his 70s, he wrote a letter to the secretary of the school asking if he could have the privilege of working another year and just have a few days off Because see what happened? Paul Cook saw someone was looking for a pen pal in Ghana, Africa. And he wrote and said he'd like to be their pen pal. This started Ghana outreach. People were taking him used daily breads and tracts, and he was mailing these out. He was seeing people come to know the Lord through the mail. Paul Cook, I never saw him drive a car. He rode a bicycle. You'd see him riding the bicycle downtown to get his mail. In the Prairie Library, there was a glass case. And in that case was an envelope. And it was from Ghana, Africa. And it said, Paul Cook, Canada. And he got it. Most people that walked on Prairie campus wouldn't know who Paul Cook was. He got that letter. And Canada's a big place. But you know what? That showed me, just by this man answering a desire for somebody to have a pen pal, he started an outreach and was sending packages to Ghana and seeing souls saved. Never spoke in a classroom, never taught a class, but I heard more teachers at Prairie Bible Institute refer to Paul Cook. When he went to be with the Lord, he was down by the boiler house, by the lake, pulling weeds. When he went to be with the Lord. Thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to share with you. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for how you've listened. And don't forget, find your verse there in Proverbs and make it yours. And you can use some of these verses that I did if your birthday comes on one of these months that I've shared with you. I don't mind somebody else using it. There's no copyright on it. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, praise you for this opportunity we've had together. We thank you that you've given us your word to guide us through this life. And we just pray that you would help us to be obedient. To be faithful to you, to follow the instructions that you have given us in order that we might glorify your name. You've led us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, not for our name's sake. Thank you for our time together, and we just pray for the youth rally as it's coming up this weekend. And Lord, we just pray that you would just work in hearts even there. For those who might be there who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that while they're here this weekend, they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I'll leave these cards up here so you can get...